Well, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, this is really good.
I'm digging it.
So what'd you put it?
I like
white asparagus.
What is
it?
It's shaved asparagus?
Uh-huh. It's just your asparagus.
Does that mean it was hairy before you started?
Hello.
Oh, hello. Hi. You're listening to KVSH LP 101.9 on Vashon Island.
Heyo.
And you are listening to The Klatch.
The
Klatch. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'm here in our downtown studio with Susan McCabe. Hi, Susan.
Hello.
And Miss Heidi Skrypek.
Hey, y'all.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi.
And it's been a couple weeks since we've been in here, and man, lots is happening.
Yes.
It's always true.
It seems like it, doesn't it?
Wouldn't it be kind of nice to come in someday and just say, wow, it's really been boring the last 2 years. Nothing's been going on.
Yeah. I'm just tired and I just am staying home all the time doing nothing.
I've had a lot of great naps and watched some terrific TV.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That'd be it.
Yeah, but you'd go crazy doing that.
Yeah,
Susan.
I would.
You have to run outside every 10 minutes, so... I know how that is.
Me and my dogs.
Yeah, you and your dog. So how are you, Heidi?
I'm doing great. I just had an appointment today for my cat. Learned that she is very diabetic.
Oh.
Quote, unquote, as diabetic as it gets.
Well, I'm glad you took her in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
House call, which was even better.
Well,
you're going to have to inject her with insulin. How does one practice shooting up a cat?
She brought some hydration fluid in a bottle and she held it for me to stick the needle in and practice. Mm-hmm. And we actually did practice.
On the cat?
On the cat.
How did she take it? How did you do?
She was great. She was really great. You pull up the neck skin and then you put your finger in the sort of where it pulls up and not down by the shoulder and the muscles and all that. You just do it into the loose skin. And it's
not so hard as you think it is. I gave my cat fluids for a while once, and it was like that.
It's such a tiny amount. You can't even feel the push into the syringe. It's so tiny. She's like, it doesn't seem like anything, but trust me, this is going to change her so much.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Well, I have kitty stuff going on, too. I have my kitty's hospice kitty. Now, Miss Tinkerbell. Yeah, but she's doing really well, and her kidneys are failing, and we're keeping her comfortable. And, you know, she's, she's as old as your kitty is, and it's...
She's high on morphine now?
No, she's not in any pain. She's just on antibiotics for a UTI, and they gave her fluids, and she's back bossing us all around, so, you know.
So does this mean that you are now both qualified to help our medical reserve corps administer COVID vaccines to the little kids?
Oh, no, not to the kids. I can think of a few grown-ups I'd like to do it to.
Stab
them. Yeah, stab them.
Bend over, this won't hurt a bit.
Oh, my goodness. Government?
Yeah. Well, we're all... To the audience out there, we're all suffering today because it's dark and it's gray.
Yes.
And we're cold and we're wet. But we're here.
We are
And we're
here.
Happy to be here.
Something's going down across the street of our downtown Vashon.
I don't know what that is. They line up there every day now. I don't know if they're...
This might be where some of the COVID shots are happening.
Oh, I bet it is. I bet that's what that is.
Or it's free booze.
We're just looking across the street at a line of cars with all their bright lights. You know, it's almost dark already. So
it's
here in the Northwest.
Taillights.
Taillights. Kind of like Christmas lights. We usually do a little COVID update when we're starting the show. And, I think we all kind of know what we know. We know what's out there. We know who's giving the best advice and who's lying. I just wanted to note that I think we're getting better, except that then we have 7 new cases at the high school.
Yep.
So it's not over. And I think one of the things that occurred to me last week is that I'm not being very careful about my washing my hands every time I come into the car and out of the car and into the house. And when it was first COVID, that stuff you put on your hands, I had everywhere.
Hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer, thank you for the word. And I couldn't go anywhere without washing my hands two or three times. And now I'm kind of lax in that, so I'm getting back on it. Because we don't even want a cold.
No, we don't.
No.
And do we know if the seven cases at the high school are Omicron or Delta or...
They'll find out. They'll be screened.
They'll find out.
So they don't know yet.
I don't know that.
They.
They maybe know.
Yeah.
But I don't.
It looks like about 13% of the ones that they've just screened recently that came up positive are Omicron. And it is starting to take hold in Washington State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is in Washington. I know that. Yeah. So, you know, everybody, keep up the protocols. Wear your masks. Wash your hands. Don't get a cold. Stay healthy.
Wear eye makeup.
I do.
Mm-hmm, I do, too.
Yeah.
Just so, you know, people can, you got to have something to show.
Otherwise, you get, are you okay? You look sick.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I was listening to Tom Hartman yesterday, and he was talking a little bit about COVID, and he was talking about the 800,000 deaths and all of the stuff about what's going on politically right now, because he's quite the political animal.
Oh, it's very interesting.
But one of the things that he said that kind of piqued my interest was he was talking about China. And apparently some things have happened over there again, and they're locked down in certain areas. They, you know, it's such a big country. They lock down areas as opposed to the whole country or the county or whatever. Yeah. And he said that, since the beginning of, he being Tom Hartman, said since the beginning of COVID to now, China has recorded 5,000 deaths only. Now, it's China.
Right. And they've recorded 5,000.
Well, that's my word.
They've reported.
The pile of bodies behind the screen.
Do you think? I don't know.
It is hard to know.
I really would like to know if that's true. But, you know...
I'm going to find a photo that my son Alexander sent to me.
He's in China, isn't he?
Yes, he's near Wuhan. And he was one of these kids that was hired to go to the hospitals and teach hospitals English terms for being sick. So that they could auditorily, if that's a word, if they could pick up on the sound of, you know, cough, flu, whatever. At the beginning of the year in 2020, he gets on a train back to his university faculty housing and is informed by the government that Wuhan is just locked down. Oh, you're in Wuhan. You need to be monitored for the next couple weeks. And they don't mess around. Let me tell you, that kid was locked in and had to quarantine, and food was dumped off by the food bank at the university. Not just for him, but I mean, they ended up locking down the whole town and Enchi. But if I can find this text, I'll tell you what the idea of it was, because it's not going to be that fast for me. But it was, we must not go out. We must stay in with the government. I really want to find it. Oh, here, I found it, I think. We must not go out. The city's transfer fever patients are going to designated hospitals. Remember. To avoid infection, the Central Theater Air Force will begin spreading disinfectant powder over Wuhan today. Please do not go out or buy anything outside. You guys are crop dusting.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're telling me 5,000 people died?
Yeah.
Come on.
We have to do a little investigating, I think. We need to find out some more information on that.
That's incredible.
Isn't that crazy? This is...
Have you heard from him lately?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he could tell you how many people have died, but they're probably not telling their own citizens either.
No.
Well, and Susan, like you said earlier when we were talking about it, China has a different mentality than America does about their country. It's all for the greater good.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And
collectivism.
Yes, right. It's the complete opposite of the American individualist, rugged individualist idea. Complete opposite. So they can make things happen. They can move the entire population in one direction or another.
Build hospitals in a week, practically. You know, they do not mess around. They mobilize like nobody's business. We are.
Sorry.
We're moving equipment around in here. It's all good.
I'm trying not to throw it on the floor.
I'm boosted now, so now all three of us are boosted.
Yeah, we're all boosted.
We are.
Yeah, we're all boosted.
Yeah.
So are do you have any COVID news, either one of you?
No, we've covered it.
We're done?
Omicron's looking like it's just not as severe for symptoms. So even though it's more pervasive, science is beginning to show that, I mean, so far, it's not too bad.
One person died in the UK from Omicron.
And
I don't know anything more about
any
it.
Of the
they
details.
Didn't reveal any other details.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is Pfizer is saying that their pill that you can take if you get COVID is effective.
That's amazing.
So
that's good.
That's really good
reading,
news.
Reading that the Pfizer vaccine is only 33% effective against Omicron.
Oh, damn.
I don't know about the boost.
I don't know about the boost
that's
either.
Just the two shots.
Well,
you need the boost. Get the boost.
Get the boost.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Okay.
All right.
You know, I was reading some interesting things over the week, which is kind of what I do. And I, you guys know about the Alamo. Remember the Alamo?
Yes.
Of course.
Have you been there?
No.
No.
It's really quite an incredible place. You know, it's a 1700s monastery.
Yeah.
You know, the Spanish monks came in and desecrated, built their own stuff. Well, what's happening now is there's a movement in San Antonio in the Alamo to expand it into a giant museum and big parking lots and that kind of thing. And what they have found is that there are hundreds and hundreds of ancestors buried in that ground. And, you know, the Native Americans are the Zapotecs, and Mesotecs down there were indigenous in the very beginning. And there are records with people's names that were written by the monks and the priests of who's buried there, actual names. And
that's amazing.
You know, the date that they died, and it's written in their books, but there's no cemetery. It's like they're under a parking lot now.
And
you know, the colonists just did it. It was sort of like, well, it doesn't matter anymore. And now the people down there are called Tape Pelam, and that is spelled T-A-P, Tape, Pelam, P-I-L-A-M. And they are kind of in a standoff with the officials who have, you know, been pushing forward with this right now. And you know, like the dispute is likened to protecting important burial sites across the United States. It's the same thing, you know, that the Native Americans are having trouble like they did in Canada. And they found all those little kids buried behind the schools and nobody was talking about it. So,
but those aren't sacred burial grounds. Those are colonists who let kids die and buried the kids.
Well, I know, but I'm talking, it's still oppression and
they were religious schools, too.
They were religious schools.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. And so the Native people are against telling the story of 1836 and how the Battle of the Alamo was won, because that's not their history.
And the Texans want to focus on the Battle of 1836.
Yes, they do.
And what do the Natives want them to do instead?
Well, they want to protect the land. They may have to exhume. They may not.
But
they'd rather not.
Parking lot already.
Yeah, yeah. Two people involved in the mediation proceedings who requested anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly about the talks.
Thank you for talking.
Said this week that Texas state officials were preparing to yield to several demands, but they aren't going to grant them to regain the access to the Alamo for religious services. They can't go in there because it's a government place now and you can't do your Native American.
And so I got to back up.
Okay.
When the Alamo was built, that was a Christian church.
Catholic, yeah.
Catholic church.
Yeah.
Were the natives allowed to participate in the religious services or to host their own in that building when it was built?
You know, they did. The history that I've studied, and I'm certainly not an expert, let me tell you that, but the history that I've studied about the missions is that the priests did try to let the native people incorporate some of their own ceremonies or belief systems in the beginning. And then later on, no, they weren't allowed to speak the language or have any of their ceremonies.
So that was when kids were sent to those religious schools so that they could
assimilate.
Thank you. That's a word. I should, so they could blah, blah, blah.
But, you know, the land office's spokesman says, we currently plan to walk away from the proposed agreement. The people made a proposal to the Alamo officials. And the officials just said, we're just going to walk away. We're not.
They're going to ignore it completely?
They're just going to ignore it. They're going to.
No conversation.
Nope.
No discussion.
Nope. Nope. Wow. So, you know, that's upsetting. And I just.
Well, yeah, and it's probably legal, which is really unfortunate.
Right, right. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's anything we can do about it right now. But it's just one more issue in the line of who lives in this country anyway? You know?
Whose country is it?
Whose country is this? Yeah.
Yeah. I streamed Reservation Dogs on a slightly different but related note, and it's so delightful. I've been watching it, and I watched it again last night, and it's just, it's slow moving, like another thing we'll talk about later, but it's really lovely. If you just relax and kick back and allow those stories to be told in the way that they are written by Native writers, it's quite beautiful.
And remind us again on what platform?
Ah, thank you. Hulu. It's called Reservation Dogs, like on the reservation. And these characters, it mostly takes place around these four kids, teenagers, who get in a lot of trouble, beat each other up, steal, whatever. But their relationships, everybody knows everybody, and it's just charming. And it's like Leave It to Beaver in that they get in tons of trouble and try to wiggle their way out of it. Or they just admit they got, you know, they screwed up, and then you watch the consequences and the relationships that they have. They're not nuclear families most of the time. It's grandmas and aunts and kind of, you know, hanaid. Anyway, I'm totally side railing this.
Oh, good. But well, I'll write that down. I think it's going to be a rainy weekend. It'll be time to watch
Definitely.
That. Sort of on that note.
Yes.
Well, not really, but kind of.
Yeah,
another segue here.
Tangent.
Another article I read that was very interesting. You know how we're all talking about gender fluidity.
Yeah,
now.
Man.
And I confess there's a lot I don't understand, and I'm trying to understand it and trying to honor it. And I know people who want to be they, and that's fine with me. I have a hard time with it because I slip and I go back to she or he or whatever, but I'm trying. And so one of these articles I read was about Mexico's third gender.
Third gender.
The
like
third
the
gender.
Spirit.
Okay. Yes, yes.
Okay.
And they're called Muxe, and that is spelled M-U-X-E-S.
Okay.
Muxe.
Muxe.
Muxe. And this article was about a woman named Estrella, who is a gorgeous, gorgeous woman who had been born male. And apparently this is something that's been going on there for centuries. And it's the article was so interesting because the first person of this article said when she was a little boy, she always wanted to do kitchen stuff with mom. She wanted to, you know, peel the carrots and chop the onions and stir, and she wanted to wear dresses and do that kind of thing. So this was indicative to the mom that this little guy was Muxe. And so then what happens is they go all in for Muxe. At a young age.
Okay.
And,
like
they
get to do whatever they want to do, and they are then trained and groomed to be a woman. And the other side of the coin, of course, and there are some feminists who don't like that idea because what's happening, the Mexican feminists, because what's happening with these boys turned girls, I hope I didn't offend anybody by saying that, they're training them in traditional roles of women.
So they're not training them to be strong women. They're training them to be subservient women.
Subservient women. And most of the Muxe end up single, staying home, and taking care of auntie or uncle or whatever. But they're very proud, and they're just beautiful.
And yes, they are painted to perfection.
They're just beautiful and very soft-spoken. And I just thought it was really interesting. I didn't know. I knew that in Native cultures, there's a third gender. But I didn't know specifically how they dealt with that.
And you know, what you're describing sounds almost like geisha.
A little bit, because the geishas...
Trained to be
except that they weren't boys.
Right. Yeah. But trained to be service-oriented, trained to take care of others, and to do what are traditionally known as feminine activities. Support
Mouché.
Kind of stuff. It's a great word.
I like it.
I know.
And
I love
it. It's spelled M-U-X-E.
M-U-X-E-S.
E-S. Mouché.
Mouché. Yes.
Beautiful.
And, you know, the Mouché children are traditionally forbidden from leaving their parental homes to start their own families. I mean, it's forbidden. But
so that's kind of restrictive.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But the good news on the other side of that coin is that the communities are fully in acceptance of Mouché. And they're just part of the fabric of their society. Nobody blinks. It's not like, oh my God, you know, it was a very heartening article.
Are they supported and cared for if they remain single?
That I don't know. I wonder.
It's a great question.
Well, you know, they're much more family oriented than we are.
True.
So Mouché would probably have a younger niece or a younger cousin or something maybe when they get old. I don't know.
To take care of them.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
The photos are not unlike Frida Kahlo.
Very Kahlo-esque.
I was struck by that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And this article was about a particular Mouché person near Oaxaca.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought it was really interesting. I wish we had more tolerance.
I wish we
had more tolerance.
Well, I remember reading about Native American cultures and how they had always had a tolerance and acceptance for the third gender.
Yes.
Of course, we in this country are now developing up to four or five genders, or the gender fluidity, the, you know, drop yourself in that continuum somewhere, wherever you like.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Kind of thing. And I think there is growing tolerance here for that as well. But it's also such a controversial subject.
Well, it's confusing to me. I have total tolerance for all of it. We can certainly, you know, do that. But whose dog is that? Sorry, somebody's here.
Oh, so cute. So cute.
I just wish that our society had more tolerance and acceptance of something that's so precious. These people are precious, you know? Mm-hmm. And the Native Americans believed they had something special to do in
the
world.
That's true. They believed that they had a special connection to the Creator.
Mm-hmm. So.
And I think they do. I also think we need to do an underwriter message.
Okay.
And I think we need to do a special message here.
Yeah.
So let me see if I can make this happen.
Oh, hello. My name is Cindy Hoyt, and I'm here because I am subversive and I love rock and roll. And I've been directly and indirectly involved with Voice of Vashon since its inception. So, you know, being with Voice of Vashon, really living on Vashon Island, means sooner or later you start addressing envelopes. So Old Man Winter is upon us again, and it is really cold in here. So everyone's going to want to pitch in and help your heart feel warm by giving us money. Because Old Man Winter is the biggest fundraiser of the year to maintain our vital emergency alert system. And I know I'm serious because I'm not laughing. Thank you, and good night.
Vashon Island Growers Association, VIGA, connects islanders at every step of the local food cycle, providing instructional videos, farmer training, food preservation equipment, and farm stand support. VIGA ensures every islander has access to food, regardless of income. Join us Saturdays, 10 to 2, at the Farmers Market, and find more information at vigavashon.org.
Can't do what we do on Voice of Vashon without our underwriters, like Snapdragon Bakery and Cafe. Pastries and vegetarian lunches by day, with nights of wine and music filling the friendly casual atmosphere that is Snapdragon on Vashon Highway at the south end of town. And don't miss the Wild Mermaid Cafe and Store, located at the North End Ferry, open every day from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., serving pastries, wine, coffee, and more. On the web at VashonSnapdragon.com.
Okay, we're back.
Okay, then.
Thanks, underwriters.
Okay,
yes,
just
thank
like,
you.
Just like Cindy Hoyt said, warm your heart and give us money.
Yeah.
So we, great.
You know, we had that big software issue, something exploding, blowing up that didn't work for a long time. And so now it's an expensive venture. So we need your help.
Yeah.
We do need your help. One more thing I want to talk about, little tidbits, and then we'll move into our main subjects. But how much do you love manatees? Those beautiful creatures.
Yes. They're so ethereal.
They're so ethereal, and they're so gentle, and they're fun to watch. I mean, I've never seen one in live. I've never seen a live one, but I've seen lots of film of them. I think they're quite wonderful. I read a very sad article the other day that the manatees are starving to death in Florida because all of the... Well, Susan, you probably know this because of the plankton issues and the eelgrass and everything that they've lost because of the pollution in the water.
Right.
And it's killing them and they have nothing to eat. So what's happening down there now is people, they've got a huge effort and the wildlife officials are hand feeding them romaine lettuce.
And so great. Oh, imported from California, no
probably,
doubt.
Probably, but I'm sure it's pesticide free.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so. But I just thought if you know, people sometimes like to give things to organizations, and the National Wildlife Association would have a place to donate.
Do they?
For the manatees, if you want to give a
National
little money.
Wildlife Association.
Bring it on.
So, in other subjects.
So many to cover.
I know, way too. We have pages. Heidi, I wanted to spend a minute. We were going to talk earlier about what's going on with the infrastructure bill. We're not a political show, but I really want to, well, maybe we are.
Oh, but yes.
I'd like to know that, you know, the infrastructure bill passed. What's it going to do for us?
So there's two phases, and the first one is through the Senate all the way, and that was the technical infrastructure bill. The second part was the Build Back Better, which had the more of the social programs and stuff. But let's talk about the first one, because that's the one that's really got...
Well, that's the infrastructure, yeah.
That is technically the one, the nuts and bolts. So
that has actually passed and been signed into law.
Yeah.
100%, yes. Yeah.
So
the
money's coming.
Come to mama. So for transportation, it's a $1.79 billion. And about 30% of that is going into sound transit programs. And another $559 million to King County Metro. They are different. And so that's amazing. And
public transportation.
Right.
We need it.
Yeah.
So bad. Rail, light rail and... more bus routes and all of that stuff. Bring it on.
I wonder if we'll do anything with the ferries.
I mean,
where's Tim Iman?
The water taxis are under the county. Maybe.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? I would love to see, just in case anyone from King County is listening.
Yes, please.
I would love to see our water taxi running more frequently and on weekends so we can go downtown without a car.
Yeah. So good.
Would save so much pollution
and
encourage people to patronize Seattle businesses.
We would
Come on,
do
King
it.
County.
We would so do it. I would say give me a 10 o'clock and a 5 o'clock.
Or a 4 o'clock. Four to six, somewhere in there.
Just a window.
Just add a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Doesn't have to be every hour.
Yeah, or so I don't, you know, have to go there at 6 o'clock in the morning and come home at 6 o'clock at night. I mean, I like Seattle, but not that much.
Well, yeah.
This is me every Wednesday. I sort of struggle with that. So I take the 8:15 in and I take the 4:30 out and I work downtown every Wednesday. And
well, that works really well when you're working.
Not bad.
But if you just want to go down and go to the museum or go to, you know.
Or doctor's appointment.
Or doctor's.
Is not good.
Or, yeah.
It doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
You can go in on one and then take the sea line back and do the other boat. I got it
all
dialed in.
And then there will be those who say, well, you live on an island. Get over it.
Yeah, right.
And I am.
You made that choice.
That's right.
That's right. We did.
Okay.
We did. So what else?
Airports, $228 million for improvements at SeaTac, and another $16 million for Payne Field in Snohomish County, another $6.8 million at the King County Boeing Field. So that's that, I think, that King County Airport area.
Oh,
so yeah. That's not a private Boeing airport?
Boeing Field / King County International. Yeah, it's not.
Okay.
And then high-speed internet access. This is a big one for
that
me.
That is yeah. huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$100 million to this state. That's pretty good. It will help 241,000 Washingtonians good. Who currently lack internet.
That is terrific.
That is big.
That was what I was most excited about in the whole thing, really, because I know so many people who live in rural areas, and mm-hmm. their internet is terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are little tiny companies that have monopolies. So
yes.
they can't subscribe. There isn't anybody else. There are no towers. There's nobody else there.
And sometimes even if there is what's called middle mile infrastructure, like there's the major pipeline into the fire station or the library in town, you still need an ISP, an internet service provider, to provide the last mile that goes into all those residences. And that is when the ISPs... Because, like you said, they may or may not want to do it because they don't have an incentive to do it because it's not profitable. Vashon, 8,000 people.
Never mind.
We have to run it from these long beep driveways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and you know they charge the homeowners.
Yes,
terrible fees.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they do.
Oh, well, this is exciting. This is good news.
All right. So climate change, $71 million to expand EV charging networks statewide.
Good,
good.
Wildfire mitigation, $39 million in Washington to protect against wildfires.
Are they going to sweep the forests?
At a rake, man.
Like Trump told them to.
Yes, like Trump said.
And those windmills, man, they cause cancer.
Yeah.
What was that? Sorry, I'll stop now.
Okay.
Roads and bridges, $4.7 billion for federal aid highway apportion programs, and $605 million for bridge replacement and repairs. Please,
the West Seattle Bridge.
West Seattle Bridge.
Please.
But, you know, the thing about all these things is that it's going to be years.
It's a five-year.
Is it five?
It's a five-year funding period. So within 5 years, it's going to rain dollars.
Well, that's
starting
good.
Soon.
It's not 20 years. I can deal with 5 years.
Well, and I believe that our outgoing Seattle mayor has announced that we should have the West Seattle Bridge back in 2022.
Oh,
and that's,
I had not
believe,
heard that.
Perhaps even separate from this bill, though I'm not sure about that, from the infrastructure bill.
I have something that I don't know if I can share, but I think I can. I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay, we'll keep it a secret.
You guys, listen to this. This is actually really exciting for affordable housing.
What?
Inslee tomorrow is going to hold a press conference and announce a bill that he's trying to advance, which will be... Next month, the legislatures can all talk about it and decide if they're going to advance it. It's called the Middle Housing Bill. And it's an effort to re-legalize density flexibility in urban areas throughout Washington State.
Oh.
So do you understand what that means?
An explanation would be nice.
Let me tell you. Allow me. So it's going to allow... density to come back into neighborhoods that have since become allotted only for single, like single family home on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, duplexes, triplexes,
maybe apartments,
courtyard style apartments, ADUs, and DADUs, which are like the backyard cottages,
right,
will all be back on the table again if this bill goes through. And so, effort was put forth by two female lawmakers. I don't know why I remember. One's from Olympia, and I can't remember where the other one's from, but they each have, there's an SB and an HR.
Oh, companion bills.
Two together. And so they are the ones behind it because they piloted some programs, density programs in Olympia that have proven, at first controversial, but proven to go and be a success. Same with Ording, Fife, Walla Walla, and Lake Stevens. So
is this going to, it sounds like it won't apply just to urban areas, like it could apply to Vashon Island.
I don't know. I just don't have the details of the bill, but I know that that's what's what it's exploring.
That's pretty exciting. That's really
and
exciting.
So yeah. critically yeah. necessary.
And here's the deal. It's going to keep people close to transit, close to their jobs, yeah. close to where they go to school, in the communities in which they've, you know, become accustomed mm-hmm. to living mm-hmm. and their community ties. Mm-hmm. So for all those reasons and just the fact that, and it's not just rentals, you guys, it's home ownership. Think about Habitat for Humanity. Yeah. They can buy yeah. a big double lot and build out. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I'll stop talking.
Well, thank you for that, Heidi.
Yeah. There's a group called Africatown Land Trust in Seattle in the Central District, and they've been working on that sort of thing since 2017 for those communities in the Central District, yeah. which are primarily,
yes.
I'm so excited, I can't talk.
I am too.
Primarily people of color.
Yes.
And
diversity is another big
yes.
piece of
yes.
it.
And they're making these living units available.
Yes.
For rental and for purchase.
Yes.
So I'm guessing they're probably part of
heck yes.
this. Oh, how
like
wonderful.
Like office of housing, I'm sure. They're
yeah.
all over
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's happening.
That's
thank
exciting.
You, Governor Inslee. Keep it up. Keep going.
No, people kind of hate on him, but he's not bad.
I don't think so.
I like him.
I like
okay.
him. I like him. Okay.
We're not
so,
political.
No, we're not. This is not a political show.
I'm sorry. I wake up political in the morning.
I know. I do too.
And I walk through my day.
I do
like
too.
That.
And sometimes I just get so tired of myself because it's just so much politics. But anyway,
yay.
Let's switch gears for a second,
okay.
ladies.
Okay. What are we switching to?
I want to talk about the new movie about the Beatles. Did
please.
You? Oh,
yeah.
Get Back.
Get Back.
So, just a little anecdote first, and then we'll get into the nitty gritty of the movie. But, you know, speaking of politics, Liz Cheney's condemnation of Mark
yes.
Meadows.
Yeah.
I mean, she came out and she named names.
She
was
did.
Kicking
she sure
ass.
Did.
You know,
she was good.
She
and
Trump's
she,
son.
Yep.
Yeah.
She really was. So anyway.
Yeah.
I had just finished watching the very last part of Get Back when I was listening to Liz Cheney talk about what Meadows had done.
Uh-huh.
Guess what song was running through my mind? Maxwell's Silver Hammer came down on his head. It's just such a riotous song, and it was so perfect for that moment.
That's perfect.
Bang, yeah. bang, Maxwell.
Yeah. yeah. So I guess I'll start the conversation by saying that I really loved it.
Good.
I was sort of not too excited when I first started watching it.
Yeah.
So let's tell folks, this is Get Back. It's a series. How many episodes?
Three.
Three long episodes.
Three
long.
Episodes.
It's very slow in the beginning. Are. Very, very slow.
And yeah. it's on Disney Plus.
Disney Plus. And
it's all about the Beatles and
well,
that
it's basically
particular album. Is that what it's about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's the what is the name of the album?
Get Back.
Is
one,
it Get Back?
But there was a second album. A lot of those songs got parceled out too.
Yeah,
that they ended up saving yeah. for another album.
But it was so fascinating to see how they would sit around their studio, for lack of a better word, and mm-hmm. just kind of screw around.
They had been apart for a few years,
mm-hmm.
and they're used to living together when they wrote their songs. And so this was the first time they'd spent all this time apart, and they came with songs in pocket, respectively, and presented
them.
Them.
Yeah.
yeah. And so then it was sort of a workshop of each person presenting his own material and figuring out ways to kind of work together to make the songs better.
And sometimes it went well, and sometimes it didn't.
Paul was a little bit of much more of a bully than I expected.
Yeah, Paul's kind of, yeah, but I think more that, I wouldn't say bully.
Leader?
He seemed to be trying to organize. I mean, and I only watched the first episode.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I frankly was not horribly impressed, but I kind of get down on the whole notion of hero worship, of
mm-hmm.
people who are, of celebrity worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just people. And mm-hmm. I've spent a lot of time watching bands mm-hmm. Work through their music.
Well, sure,
so,
sure.
The more you get through the episodes, the more you're going to see some endearing qualities since you've gone through the first one and mm-hmm. you have two more to go.
Mm-hmm. And I think I learned much more about them as individual people.
Definitely.
Just like they, they were people. They weren't,
right.
They weren't the Beatles and screaming and yelling. They were people. And it was really magical to see how, and this happens when musicians are sitting around, I know.
Exactly.
But it's not the Beatles, you know. But just somebody else strums something, and then somebody else strums something else, and then an organ comes in, and then all of a sudden you have this incredible music.
Yes. Right. Magic happens
it
when
does.
Talented people get together.
It really
and
does.
That's thrilling.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was also impressed with, and I think you mentioned this, Heidi, how funny John Lennon
oh,
was.
My
oh, he's hilarious
God,
was.
Man. He was kind of the comic relief mm-hmm. of the whole group.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
From what I saw.
And Ringo was pretty funny.
And you see lots of his funnies in the third episode.
Oh, really? Okay.
Much more.
Much more. Yeah. It's more personal, more, well, by the time it was over, I didn't want it to end.
I was put off by Yoko in the first run of it. But then on the second and third, I was kind of like, you know, he loves her and they love each other and they just want to be static, cling to one another. So, but at first I was like, get away, just let them practice, you know.
Oh, I still feel that way.
Was this taking place early in their relationship?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because they had all been separated. And so now John was coming back with this woman mm-hmm. attached to him.
Yes.
Were you guys Beatles fans? You're probably not old, were you?
I like the early Beatles because I like rock and roll mm-hmm. in general. But after this movie, I had earworms of all the songs.
Yeah.
So I liked it a lot. It got me over to the other side.
Yeah, it's, well, a funny story about that. I was quite young. I don't know, maybe 12, 15. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it was Sunday after church and my parents, we had to go to somebody's house for dinner mm-hmm. and I didn't want to go. But anyway, their daughter was a couple years older than I was. And she said, come back to my room and listen to this record I got. And I said, all right. And so we went back there and she said, have you ever heard of the Beatles? And I said, no, who's that? Because I was listening to like Duane Eddy and, you know, other
American rock,
American
and roll.
Music. Yeah. Guitarist. And I heard I Want to Hold Your Hand. I will never forget it. I will never forget it. I was a kid. I was in my Sunday best clothes. And she and I dance. We played that record over and over and over. And, you know, the parents came back and said, what are you doing? What are you listening to?
That noise. Wearing the grooves off the record.
Yeah. And so that got me into the over
That's
the hump.
So cool.
Into
wow.
that.
I love it.
And I will never forget the first time I heard the Beatles.
Well, when the Beatles were big, I was going to a Catholic girls' school. I was into, and my friends were screaming over records, the women, the girls that I, and I was so embarrassed and put off by that behavior.
Yeah.
I went into Broadway musicals and classical music.
You went the total opposite direction.
I kind of missed the whole thing until my kids reintroduced me to the historic music of the Beatles, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful music, mm-hmm. and I don't have to scream and drool over it.
They're such good arrangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I guess. Is it time?
I guess we're saying we'd recommend, huh?
Definitely. If you don't have Disney Plus, find someone who does.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And do we need to take another station break?
We do.
Okay. We'll be back in just a second.
Breaky.
Support provided by Hawthorne Stereo. Sellers of exceptional hi-fi since 1946. Hawthorne specializes in new and used stereo music systems, from vintage turntables to high-end digital streaming and beyond. You can find them on the web at hawthornestereo.com. Support for VOB comes from Come On Barber, offering mobile appointments, pop-up barbershops, and more. Come On Barber reminds the Vashon community to stay spiffy and stay classy. Find out more at www.comeonbarber.com. That's C-M-O-N, Barber, all one word, .com.
And we're back.
Hi.
Hi.
Ooh, shocked
Who
me there.
You,
oh,
anyway.
Hello.
Where
so,
am I?
So, yes, we recommend the Beatles movie.
Please, get
for
back,
sure.
baby.
Get back in that song.
It goes slow. Just be patient. Just enjoy it.
I guess that's what you'd have to say, is just be patient. Because I almost gave up in the first episode, really. I thought,
well,
really?
I'm glad to hear that, because I'll go back.
But I binged, and I'm really glad I did.
You have to see the outfits. George's outfits.
Oh, my God, the clothes.
Yeah.
The clothes.
Sorry,
yeah.
we're
George.
Back on it again.
Well, who was your favorite Beatle?
John Lennon.
Oh.
Yeah.
And who was yours?
I can't pick.
I pick George.
Maybe Ringo or Paul. John's pretty awesome, too. See, I can't do it. Never mind.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
No. Okay, so speaking of men.
Yeah.
As we sort of were. And COVID. Mm. One of the things that's happened during COVID is that plastic surgery has really ballooned, and especially Botox.
That sounds almost contradictory.
I was thinking I had a Sasquatch situation happening down below decks when I went to Hawaii recently because I have not been grooming or doing anything for my personal appearance.
So. No, 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 not that.
But they're still.
No, we're talking about because we're all wearing masks.
Oh, that, yeah.
So our eyes are visible and all the wrinkles and the puffs and all of that. So Botox, let me see if I can find this statistic.
People use Botox on their eyes?
Well, yeah, around here.
Around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for not the crow's feet.
Not in your eye.
And in between the furrow, the 11s, they call it.
The 11s.
Where
two vertical lines
develop.
Amanda Hess, do you know Amanda Hess with the New York Times?
Okay. Yep.
Her take on the cultural evolution of Botox is pretty funny. Quote, though there are several competing brands, Botox is the Kleenex of the category. It presents the kind of bargain one might strike with a nefarious sea witch. She will grant you eternal youth, but at the price of being able to move your face. And Botox
and by eternal 6 weeks. Go on.
Botox once suggested vanity, delusion, and self-consciousness, but now it has fresh associations with confidence, resilience, and even authenticity, as the idea of having work done has come to be seen as a legitimate form of work. And then she says, female movie stars are no longer buried after a certain age. Instead, they are embalmed.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Perfect.
The American Society of Plastic Surgeons found that Botox injections became the most popular non-invasive cosmetic procedure in 2020 with 4.4 million procedures.
That's a lot of procedures.
That's a lot of Botox.
That's a lot of Botox. Is that permanent when they make a Botox injection? Does the change
No, you have to keep going back and getting it.
Oh, what a... Really, I guess that's a good investment.
And the more you get it,
in something.
The more you get it, the less your face moves, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But the one of the funny things about this is men are doing it now.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Quite a lot. Definitely. And you know what they call it? Bro-tops.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, Netflix is doing a great series on, they're calling, Masters, American Masters.
Oh, yeah.
And they're documentaries about people, the two I've seen, they're still alive, who have done remarkable things, particularly in the arts. But I watched the invention of David Geffen.
Oh, cool.
Who, if you don't know, folks, he is a giant in music and film and Broadway production. And I was watching, he's pushing 80.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy has a fake tan and
a
very smooth face.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of the producers in his ilk that they had on camera had the same
fake tan
and that smooth, flawless skin. And you know these guys have been rode hard and put away wet.
And yet,
because they're in the entertainment field where they had bundles of money.
Oh my God!
Well, but I mean, in the entertainment field, why do you have to look plastic?
Exactly.
You know that. I mean, I don't know. One of the answers when men went in to get Botox, one of the answers when asked, "Why do you want this done?" The most common answer was, "My wife or my girlfriend wants me to."
Really?
What? Yeah.
That's interesting.
I know. That's what I thought.
When you said the price is that your face doesn't move, I thought, well, I'm not getting Botox, and sometimes my face moves without my trying.
Oh, that. Well, there that. Then there is that, too.
The twitch.
So
it's sag.
Oh, that. Yes.
What do you think about plastic surgery?
I, on the face, it's a tough one because it's for everyone to see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if somebody feels good with it, then I say mazel tov. But you're going to get people like me who go, oh, I can tell. Because I worked at I did copywriting for a meta spa and a plastic surgeon. I was a PR person for a plastic surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And it is quite utilized. There's my husband out the window. Hi, honey. I love you. Small world. I love this little town. And it's so obvious to me. I can see when someone's had fillers done. I can see when someone's had Botox done. I can just tell, or chemical peels. That's
mm-hmm.
another one.
Mm-hmm.
People go to great lengths. Look at Tori Spelling, you guys. Google her and you'll see.
That's awful.
There's a case
study. Yeah, it's when people really go overboard
they
with
get hooked.
It. And I wonder, is that it? Mm-hmm. I wonder why actors, female actors, do that, because they have to use their faces to for their craft.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
Helen Mirren didn't do it.
Yeah.
No, she didn't. No, she didn't.
She looks great.
And she looks wonderful.
Yeah.
Supermodel Linda Evangelista, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Cool sculpting around mm-hmm. her neck, and it backfired, and she had a reverse thing where it started to build fat cells, and it ruined her beautiful, long, skinny neck.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
and it never
terrifying.
It never it's not the same.
It's irreversible.
Yeah,
it's
well,
irreversible.
Yeah, and there are cases where it goes bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's
so,
that person.
I'm not going to do it.
Oh, I can't afford it. But if I could, would I? I don't fault anyone for doing particularly a little bit here and a little bit
mm-hmm.
there. But
mm-hmm.
when it becomes, as you said, Heidi, an addiction, and they can't move their faces, and they are clearly no longer human.
Yeah, it's like a dysmorphic thing.
It's hard for me to look at them.
That's awesome.
Cher is one example.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm glad we don't have to look at them if we don't want to.
That's true. We don't.
Yeah.
Hats off.
Yeah.
I'm glad the science is there and it's safe and whatever.
And you've got money and you want to do it and you want to look that way. That's great.
Yeah.
Have a good time. But I just thought it was really interesting about Botox.
And 4.4 million procedures in 2020. Wow.
In 1 year.
Yeah.
4.4 million.
In 1 year, Botox. Yeah.
Wow. Great.
So here we are. 'Tis the season.
Mm.
And, we're all having a bunch of stress and a bunch of joy all at the same time.
Is this our last show before Christmas?
No. We have one more.
No,
it is our last. We have another one on the 27th or 28th.
27th.
Okay. So happy.
Yeah, happy
Merry
holidays.
Christmas to
Merry
those
Christmas.
Of you who celebrate that. And happy solstice.
Yeah.
And whatever else you, happy Festivus.
As you might guess, solstice is kind of a big deal on Vashon.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people celebrate solstice. And, you know, there's a thing this year, too, where I'm reading a lot about how people are changing their traditions. They're not going to do the same old thing that they've always done. And part of that is attributed to lockdown, shutdown, year mm-hmm. and a half of mm-hmm. really being able to decipher what we want and what we don't want. And we get rid of the obligations and only do those things that make us happy.
I decided that a couple years ago, and because I used to be really down on Christmas, and I've had some experiences that have started to bring that back for me. So I've chosen to do only the things I like.
Mm-hmm.
I like
mm-hmm.
the lights.
Okay.
I like them a lot.
Yeah.
I like the food.
Mm-hmm.
I like the eggnog.
Me too.
I like the gathering with other people.
Mm-hmm.
The whole pressure to buy presents. Well, for one thing, it's really bad for the environment.
Yeah.
And for another, it's not fun. It's painful.
And nobody needs anything anymore. We don't need more stuff.
You don't give people experiences.
You know, I kind of like the idea of the solstice. You know, it goes back so far. It's like way back in pagan days. Even before that, it's just been a natural way to observe the seasons and watch the moon and the sun. And Stonehenge, you know, is designed around the solstice.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it was humans' reaction to the light going away. And so they started having celebrations to try to get the light to come
back. To get the
back.
Light back. Yeah.
And I think in agrarian societies, too, they also used this time
mm-hmm.
to socialize.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, because they weren't farming. They weren't working the
land.
They
weren't busy,
So they made connections with their neighbors or their mm-hmm. neighboring villages mm-hmm. and so forth, because they need each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Support.
Mm-hmm.
The Scandinavians back in the 1500s celebrated it for a month and a half. they celebrated solstice. And you think about, well, that's probably, there wasn't anything else to do. It was dark and cold.
Right. Let's party.
Let's party.
I like them. I think I'm Scandinavian.
Yeah. Oh, I think you are too.
I know I am.
We'll make you an honorary Scandinavian.
Thank you.
Yeah, that would be good. Do you have plans for the holidays?
No, none.
Good.
We're just chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. Just, okay.
You know, I'm doing tiny Christmases. I think I told you that, where I'm just having little gatherings, one or two people.
That's a lovely idea.
Only when I want to, and only, you know, when I can, when I'm not feeling stressed. So I think probably I'm done now.
Are you done?
It is a little early.
Yeah. But I'm also looking forward to doing some tiny gathering things after the holidays.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, a good idea.
Because everybody's done. And you can just come over and have some tea or a glass of wine. I just want to have two or three people in at a time and make it easy on myself. And there will be no presents involved. And I think lots of good cheer.
I think that's great. I just got this vision, though, of
what?
A line of people.
Are you going to make fun of me?
I do, too.
I am. Outside your house in groups of two and three,
totally
sleeping overnight outside, waiting for their turn.
Metered admission. I'm sorry, it's not your turn yet. Pick a number. I'm sorry. You need to leave now. Next round, please.
Are you cold? Oh, I'm sorry,
soup.
We're out of room.
Basically, and yeah. We're definitely coming over, baby.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
I am doing baking. I'm doing some baking, which is kind of fun. I like that anyway.
Go it's the season to be chubby.
Such as?
I'm going to make some Christmas bread. Mm. I did make ginger molasses cookies. They're all gone.
What's Christmas bread?
This is not a food show.
Is it a fruit cake?
I can't ask a food question.
No, you're the one who's always giving me trouble. You're always saying, don't make this into a food show.
1 minute. Give us a minute.
Okay.
Come on.
It's a sweet dough white bread with candied fruit in it. It's very good toast in the morning.
It's not fruitcake, which is often turned into a doorstop.
Because it sure sounds like if it's sweet with fruit in it.
No, it's not brown. It's bread. It's yeast risen bread.
Okay.
And it's a Scandinavian thing.
I trust.
Yeah.
So I won't want to turn it into a doorstop.
No, not that one. No. But I do love fruitcake. So
you do?
I do.
Oh, that's weird.
Do you like eggnog?
Oh, love eggnog.
Okay.
I like homemade eggnog, though.
Well, I was thinking
I don't
maybe
like the stuff you get in the store.
No, we should make some.
Yeah.
And get all those egg whites all whipped up
and
fold them in there.
Mm-hmm,
gosh, that's good.
A little rum.
Well, we're just getting down to winding down, and really, I just wanted to say to both of you, I hope your holidays are splendid. And
thank
that you.
You
have warmth and good cheer, and that you're surrounded with people who love you.
And may we say that to everybody who's listening.
Definitely. Yes. Holidays can be a weird time.
It can be a weird time.
You know, it's hard for some people, and there are some bad anniversaries. My mom died at Christmas time. And so it took me a few years to be able to even you just dissociate it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't so much anymore, but there are other people who have lost family members or divorces or there's a lot of triggers. We were
exactly
triggers. Good
happy
triggers and bad
and sad triggers. Yeah.
But
right.
What triggers are you? I mean, what kind of trigger are you?
This is really kind of sad, but just in 2019, I think it was before COVID, my husband's sister came to visit us for Christmas.
Oh, right.
And his brother and her wife came, and the siblings had a wonderful Christmas, a wonderful reunion. When the brother and his wife went back to North Carolina, we took his sister to go to a movie. She became very ill. And ended up in a hospital in Tacoma for 3 weeks until she died there.
Yeah, that was, I remember when that happened. That was really tough.
And it was really rough because her daughter, her only child, was away in Poland and couldn't get to her. So she had to be on a ventilator for 3 weeks.
Oh,
and it was horrible. At the same time, they did finally get together. Her daughter was there at her deathbed. And the siblings all had a wonderful Christmas
reunion. That's good.
Yeah.
Bittersweet.
Bittersweet.
And then we have the other kinds of triggers. I don't really know what the right word would be, but Heidi, you and I were talking about flannel the other day.
Oh, I love that. The tactile stuff.
You know, flannel in wintertime and Christmas time. Christmas flannel nightgowns.
Smells of cinnamon and ginger.
Yeah.
Pine.
My mother used to make us flannel pajamas every Christmas, and I think
mine
you guys
too.
Had the same thing.
Lands of Salzburg, baby.
Oh, you're spoiled.
All the way.
Oh, nice.
You guys, it's time.
Okay.
We gotta say goodbye.
Well, goodbye, everybody. Have a lovely holiday, and we'll talk to you afterwards.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Mm, bye. Yes, it's really good.
I'm digging it.
So what'd you put in?
I like quite a stir.
It is shaved asparagus?
Uh-huh. It's just
does that mean it was hairy before?